Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Zayin. Today we begin the eighth parak of Masechta Shabbos, so we're going to pick up at the Mishnah on daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and by Karen and Mark E. Benson, commemorating the ninth yahrzeit of Mark's father, Jack Benson, Yaakov Ben Yitzchak HaKohen, Zichron L'Vracha, whose yahrzeit was on the 23rd of Iyar. Again, I apologize for having missed announcing it on the 23rd of Iyar, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah from the Zichus of our learning. And, okay, so we are holding on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Ayin Vav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah is going to discuss the shear of different mashkim for the Isra of Hotz. So, how much of wine, how much milk, how much of different mashkim does one have to be motzi in order to be chayiv on Shabbos? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what the shir meziga is when it comes to yayin. Is the shir meziga a 3-to-1 ratio or a 2-to-1 ratio? It seems different from different contexts in Shas. Then we're going to discuss congealed wine. When wine congeals, what is the shir? Does a revius turn into a kezayis? Does a revius of wine that congeals turn into less than a kezayis? So we're going to have a discussion about that. Then the Gemara is going to have four spelling questions that involve an aleph or an ayin, that there are four different words that the Gemara is unsure whether it should be spelled with an aleph or with an ayin. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the shear of human milk. The Gemara talks about milk in general, so the Mishnah talks about milk in general, so the Gemara is going to talk about what about human milk. Then the Gemara is going to give many examples of kol masha barak many examples of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world that we think might be useless, but are actually quite useful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't waste any creations. And the Gemara is going to talk about five different fears that are somewhat ironic. They have very large and powerful things that are afraid of very tiny things. You have that in the Bria as well. Then we're going to have six different questions about that Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Yehuda about why certain items are created in the way that they are. Then the Gemara is going to get into the etymology of many, many different words, why things are called what they are. So a lot of agadita about the Bria in general and about why things are given certain titles, are given certain names. So let's begin at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Motzi Yayin Kedei Mezigas Kos. How much wine do you need to be chayiv for the Melacha of Hotzah? The amount that you would need to dilute a kos, that when you mix it with water, you will have enough to drink to fill up a kos. Chalav kedei gemia. How much milk do you need in order that a regular person would swallow at one time? Devash, how much honey would you need? Kedei lita to be chayiv, kedei lita in al kosis. The amount that you would put on a wound that a horse or a camel has on its back because they're carrying too heavy of a burden and it scrapes on its back or it makes a bruise or something on the animal's back, so they used to treat it with honey. So that amount of honey is the amount that would be necessary in order to be chayiv chatos. Shemen, kedei lasu chayver katan. The amount of oil would be the amount that you would anoint a small limb with that oil. Mayim, kedei lasu b'emes hakilar. The amount of water is the amount of water that would be needed in order to make a certain ointment with that water. Vishar kala mashkin, and all other mashkim that are not used for refuah, b'revias. So the shear is always going to be a revias, because the shear of a drink is always a revias. Kala shovchin b'revias, and anything that is that's mayim sruchim, any water that is not drinkable is also, the shear is going to be b'revias, even though it's not drinkable water. The Gemara is going to discuss, not in today's daf, but in tomorrow's daf, why would there be any shear? When would it ever be useful if it's mayim sruchim? What are you going to do with water that is that's disgusting? But that's a question for tomorrow's daf. So says the Mishnah further, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says, Kulan berevius, all of the mashkim, even the yayin and the chalav and the dvash, the shir is always a revius. All the shirim we're mentioning in our Mishnah that happen to be pachas merevius is elal matzniyeh, and that's for a person who is matzniya those things, who puts them away and is machshiv them, that he himself has the right to say that to him it's a davar chashuv. So for him, it's going to be chayiv on pachas merevius. But everybody else is only going to be chayiv when it is a revius. Rabbi Shimon disagrees disagrees with the Tanakhama on two fronts. Rashi points this out, the Rashash elaborates a little bit on Rashi, that the Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama on two fronts. First of all, Tanakhama says that everyone is chayiv if you're motzi, the shiurim that are mentioned in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Shimon, not everyone is only chayiv if you're motzi a revius. The shiurim that are mentioned in the Mishnah for regular people are irrelevant. For regular people, it's only revius. Second, the Tanakhama said on Daf Ayin Hayamid Beis that if one is matznia something, he's chayiv for being motzi it, even if he's matznia just a kol shuhu. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, a kol shuhu is not going to be chashuv even if you're matznia it. These shiurim are the shiur for someone who's matznia. So there is a shiur for someone, even for someone who's matznia something. We're not just going to automatically say that it is a kol shuhu. That is how Rashi seems to understand. The Agos Hashri points out that all of these shiurim relate to a chiyuv chatas, that if you are motzi this amount of these items, now, bishogeg, then you're going to be chayiv a carbon chatas. But as far as iser, if you ask a shaila, am I allowed to carry out less than the amounts that we just listed in the Mishnah? Yeah, chatzi shir asim in a Torah. It's all going to be in iser daraisa. The Chacham Tzvi and the Tshuva and Simen Pei Vav, I think we mentioned the other day, disagrees. The Chacham Tzvi writes that the entire notion of chatzi shir is only by isure achila and not by other isurim, like ziza seir nazir, to give a nazir a haircut. That's even a chatzi shir, or tolish b'shad, meaning that there is no din of chatzi shir, or tzlisha b'shabbos, or motzi pachus min ashir, it's not even included in the chatzi shir also min haTorah. In the Daglam Ravavin, Simon Kufman Beis, on the Magen Avram and Sifkat and Yud, he's medayik that Tosfos and Shavuos holds this way as well. That it's not just the Chacham Tzvi as an acharon taking on the Rishonim, taking on the Agos Hashri, that we find that it seems that the Tosos in Mesechah Shavuos on Daf Tes Zayin Am Beis Mesechah Shavuos holds this way as well. That does not count as Daf Yomi coincidence mentioning Mesechah Shavuos the week before Shavuos, because Shavuos has nothing to do with Shavuos. Okay, so right, I remember once in DRS we were learning Mesechah Shavuos at the beginning of the year. Each of the Rebbeim were saying their goals for the year. So if David Willick said, I want to finish Mesechah Shavuos in the first 2 months of the year and then learn half of Baba Metzia the rest of the year. And one of the other Rebbeim who taught one of the more challenging Shirim said, by the end of the year, I want my guys to know that Mesechah Shavuos is not about the holiday. I would like if they know that. So everyone sets their goals kifi their level. All right, so... says the Gemara, Tana kedei mezigas kos yafa, my kos yafa, kos shel bracha. So what does it mean, kedei mezigas kos yafa? Why? What is a kos yafa? What's a nice kos? Kos shel bracha is a nice kos. Why is a kos shel bracha called a nice kos? Brachos daf nun aleph, that a kos shel bracha is to una asara devarim, that a kos shel bracha requires 10 things that make it beautiful. It requires itur and ituf and hadacha and shtifa and chai, all of these and many, many others. All of these require requirements that we have dafka for a kosher bracha. You got to put on an atifas harosh, and you have to surround it by other things. So all of these things make it a kosher yafa, make it a beautiful thing. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rab Baravua, kosher bracha tzarech shehebo rova revius, that the amount of actual wine, of undiluted wine you need in a kosher bracha is actually only one quarter of a revius, because kedeshim zagenu v'yamud al revius, because you want that after you dilute it, it should equal to a revius. So that shear of a rova revius is the shear that yichayev for being motzi yayin on Shabbos, because that's the kedei meziga. That's the amount that you would need in order to dilute, in order to get to a revius of yayin. So the question though is that this seems to be against a gemara meseches psachim, because over here we're saying a revius for a kosher bracha in psachim kuf zayin amin aleph. We said a makadish is yotzi yidei chavaso im ta'am melo lugmav, that if a person tastes a melo lugmav of the kos, he's yotze the Kiddush. Melo Lugmav is more than a revius. So Tosos raises this question. Tosos Dibra Maschil V'yamod, and Tosos points out that when it says over there you have to be toy Melo Lugmav, it doesn't mean you literally have to fill up your cheeks. It means that if you put all the wine on one side of your mouth, it would look like your cheeks are filled up. So, or Tosos says that it's Dafka by Kiddush, maybe you need a Melo Lugmav. But a Kol Shel Bracha only needs a revius. And the Mari Brona explains what Tosos means in the Tshuvas Mari Bronus Simanayin Beis, that because of chibuv mitzvah, you have to drink more for the kos shel kiddush than you would for other kos shel bracha. So that's the idea of requiring a greater shear for kiddush than we require for other kos shel bracha, if in fact that is true. But that's one of the answers of Tosfos. So says the Gemara further, Amar Rava, Afanan Nami Tanina. Rava says, you know, I'll bring you a raya that the shear otzah of yayin is a rova revius, because it says hamotzi yayin, if a person takes out undiluted wine, kidei mizigas kos, the amount that it would take to dilute to make a nice kos, v'tani ala, and the Bryce explains kidei mizigas kos yafa, the amount that you need to make a kos yafa, a nice kos shel bracha, v'katani seifa, and the seifa goes on to say in the Mishnah ushar kalamashkin berevius, that all other mashkin the shear is revius, and anything less than revius you're pater. So must be that when we say you're chayiv for being motzi yayin chai in the amount that it would take to make a mezigas kos shel bracha, it means the shear of undiluted wine that when you dilute it will equal a revius. And what's that shear? That is a rova revius, because there's always a 3-to-1 ratio of water to wine. So therefore, the amount of wine that would produce a kos that's the size of a revius is a quarter of a revius. V'rava l'tamei, and this is rava l'shita so, because Rav is clearly assuming a 3-to-1 ratio. And Amar Rava, Rava said elsewhere, kol chamra de lo dori al chad tlos maya lav chamruhu, that any wine that's not diluted with a 3-to-1 ratio of water to the wine, then it's not really considered wine. Wine is by definition always going to be a good wine, a wine that you're going to be able to drink, that's going to be worthwhile drinking, is when you have a 3-to-1 ratio of water to the wine. Amar Abaye shtei tshuvos b'davar. Abaye says, I have two responses to Rava, his raya from our Mishnah, he said, that I think is incorrect. Chada, first of all, ditnan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Nida. Now, why would we be talking about wine in Maseches Nida? Because the Mishnah talks about the five mine dam that are tame. There are only five shades of red that are, in fact, tame. Now, we're, of course, machmir on pretty much any shade of red. Anything that's not red, then you get into questions, and we're mostly mekil. But any shade of red, we're machmir. We lost the ability to genuinely paskin on the differences between the different reds. That's why many poskim are mekel on themselves to paskin these shilas even at night when the sun is not out and our ability to see colors is not as strong, even though it's halacha mefereshes that you're not allowed to paskin at the night time, or you're not allowed to paskin without daylight, because with halacha mefereshes is relating to looking at being able to discern between different shades of red. Our job is a lot easier. Our job is just to discern, it doesn't have any tinge of red in it at all. But we don't have to differentiate between shades of red. But the Mishnah assumes that there are five very highly specific shades of red that are tameh. One is black and the others are red, meaning a black dam is tameh as well. Dam shachar is tameh as well, because we assume that it's red that has been deoxidized or something and it has turned black. That's a very rare shaila. But so the Mishnah talks about what are the shades of red, and one of them is vehamazug shnei chelkei mayim veechad yayin min hayayin ashironi, that if you take wine from Sharon, that's a 2-to-1 ratio of water to wine, that shade of red that you would get, that's the shade of red that is one of the mine damim tameim, that is one of the colors of dam tame. But don't you see from there that the shear, that the ratio is 2-to-1 and not 3-to-1? So how can you be mochiach from our Mishnah that a rova revius is enough to be chayav for otzah? Maybe it should have to be a shlish revius, maybe it should have to be a third of a revius, because it seems to be a 2-to-1 ratio. Va'od, this also, the Gemara doesn't bring it up, but it also comes up in Masech Sanhedrin, because in Masech Sanhedrin we talk about how many dayanim still need to be left in order for the Sanhedrin to continue to function. They weren't always all there all the time, meaning you're talking about 70 or 71 judges, so they're not all going to be there. So the Gemara talks about meziga, that if you have kedei meziga, what's kedei meziga? So 1/3 of the Sanhedrin is enough to continue to function. So that also seems to be a 1/3, which is a 2-to-1 ratio, but that could also be viewed as a 3-to-1 ratio, not for now. But that's raya number one Abaye has against Rava. V'od, another response I have to you, if the shear of being motzi yayin needs to equal up to revius, just like every other drink, and the reason we do mezigas hakos is because the reason we use that shear shears because that's going to produce a kos yafa. Well, you know what you need to produce a kos yafa with the revius in it? Not just the undiluted wine, you also need the water, and they need to be mixed. Otherwise, your kos is not going to be good. You're just going to have this, it's like petel. You're going to have this, I don't know if they still have that in Israel, the old disgusting raspberry drink. So you're just going to have it. They do have it. Okay, thank you, Jude. And it's still bad. Okay, so you're just going to have this condensed flavor. So says the Gemara, says Abayi, Mayim Bekadum, it's starvin. The water's not even here. And somehow that's going to create the Shir Avias. If the whole idea is to create a Shir Avias, how could you just take the undiluted wine and measure that, that you don't even have the water? So Amalei Rava Hadaka Amrit Rava responds, that which he said, Shnei Chalke Mayim Ve'achad Yayin Min Yayin Ashironi, that which you bring me a Raya from the Mishnah Mesechas Nida, that assumes a 2-to-1 ratio, Shironi Luchud, Yayin Ashironi Luchud, Derafi, Yayin Ashironi is different because it is a much softer kind of wine. It's a much more nuanced kind of wine. It doesn't have such a strong taste, so it doesn't need so much dilution. Inami Hasim Yishum Chazusa, or the Mishnah Nida is not telling us how to make a good cup of wine. It's telling us how to produce the color you're looking for when paskening a Dam Nida Shaila. So as far as colors are concerned, the color that you're looking for when you paskening a Dam Nida Shaila is a 2-to-1 ratio. Avalataima, but if you actually want some good wine to drink, Baitfei, well then you're going to need a different ratio. Then you're going to need a 3-to-1 ratio. Udekamrit, and as far as your other Raya, Mayim Bekadu Mitzarfin, your other Kasha rather, that how could you be Mitzarif? How can you do the shear based on how much wine there is if you're going to need water as well? How could it be Mitzarif if the water's not even here? Then in Shabbos, Midi D'chashav Bin Vanami O'chashav. As far as Shabbos is concerned, we just need something that a person is Machshiv. One is Machshiv, a quarter of a revius of a Yayin that is undiluted, because it will be able to produce for him a Kos Shel Yayin. He doesn't need something that he could drink right now. He doesn't need something that's edible. That's not the shear. The shear is, what will the person say? That's worth saving. That's worth keeping. That's worth holding on to. So the water is going to be easy to find. That'll find later. But it's worth holding on to a quarter of a revius of undiluted wine. Okay, Tana, Yavesh, now the Tosefta tells us that if you have wine that dries up and congeals, because then the shear is a kazayis, because the assumption is that a revius that congeals will turn into a kazayis, that that's their equivalent shiurim. Divrei Rabbi Nassan, that is the shita of Rabbi Nassan. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Nassan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Davar Echad. That Rabbi Nassan is totally aligned with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, meaning they both assume that if you take a revius of liquid and you congeal it, that you'll end up with a kezayis of a salad. Where do we find that they both say this? Rabbi Nassan, Ada Amaran. Rabbi Nassan, we already said that the yayin that's karush is going to make a shir kezayis. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Ditanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shisha Devarim, Mekule Beishamai, Mechumre Beisilel, that Rabbi Yehuda listed six items where Beishamai is more makel than the Beisilel. The Beisilel is more machmir. There are more than six. It's just that these are Mishnayis and Mesechus Edios. And Mesechus Edios, it's when all the Chachamim came into Keren B'Yavne and they sat Shuros Shuros. It's called Keren B'Yavne because they sat Shuros Shuros Kikerem. So when they came into Yavne and they were made about different traditions that they had. Each Chacham had a different tradition that they were afraid might get lost if they don't share it at that time. So they shared all of these traditions at that time. So Rabbi Yehuda happened to have six of them, but there are more. One of the six that he had was Dam Nevela. Is that if you have Dam of a Nevela, Beishamai Mitarin or Beisilah Mitamin, that Beishamai is Mitaher Dam Nevela, and Beisilah says that it's Tameh just like Basar HaNevela, meaning Nevela flesh, Nevela meat is Tameh, is Navatuma, but Dam Nevela, one might have said, is not Basar Nevela, does not have the same din of Tumah. So that's where Beis Hillel's Machmir, that it's Metameh like Basar Nevela. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, what does that mean? Why is it Metameh like Basar Nevela? Do we say that Dam Nevela has the same status of Nevela, that it is also called Nevela, Legabe, all of its halachos? The Rush and the Ritva write that from Rashi, it sounds like that according to Beis Hillel, the Dam is Metameh because it's included in the Basar, it has a din of Basar. Tos says, no, even Beis Hillel says that the Dam is not the Basar, there are different categories, it's just that the Tana has some sort of drasha that Dam Nevela is also Metameh. nafkamina would be the israchila, right? When you are ochel dam of a nevela, is it only an israchila's dam, or is it also an isr of achila's nevela, right? Now, who cares? Either way, it's aser. So there are some rishonim that say that if you cook dam, it's no longer an isr daraisa of achila's dam. It would only be an isr derabanan. Dam vushal would not be an isr daraisa. So might it not even be an isr at all. But nevela, when you cook it, still remains nevela. That's the famous story they tell of Reb Chaim Brisker, that another rav from a neighboring town was telling him, I don't understand why you need all this lamdus. It's so you just paskin halacha straight. Why do you have to have all of this lamdus? Reb Chaim Brisker said, let me ask you a shaila. Let's say you have two women that are cooking next to each other, a Jew and a non-Jew. The Jew is obviously cooking kosher food, the non-Jew is cooking nevela. And a piece of nevela of indiscriminate size, that we don't know unidentified, we don't know the size of the piece of nevela, came out of the non-Jew's pot and landed in the Jew's pot. So what would you say? What's the halacha? So the fellow said, what do you mean what's the halacha? It's a davar pashut what the halacha is. You have really on a daraisa level, it's min b'minos batal barov. We only require shishim on a drabanan level, so you have a savik drabanan l'kula. So Chaim Brisker said, yeah, that's true, savik drabanan l'kula, but you have to realize the nevela that the non-Jew was cooking probably never had melicha, so mistama there was blood in there as well, and that's not min b'mino. The Jew was cooking meat, so now blood came into the meat. So he said, Taka, you're right. It's min b'she'eno mino. Min b'she'eno mino is b'shishim. So he said, but wait, the dam was mavushal. The Balei Tosfos, right? The dam mavushal is not included in the isur dam. There is no isur dam anymore when the dam is mavushal. He said, Taka, you're right. So it's going to be vayter mutter because min b'mino. So he said, but wait, dam of a nevela may not only have an isra of dam; it may have a din of nevela as well. And even so, then the isra nevela doesn't go away when you cook it. The isra dam goes away when you cook it. So now it's vayter min b'she'eno mino. So he said, Taka, you're right. It's min b'she'eno. So and some versions of the story went another couple of steps beyond that. But the point is that even just to be able to identify the issues that come up in a shaila lahalacha, you need to think like a lamdan. You need to think about all of the shitas and the rishonim and how to conceptualize them. So you have to conceptualize what is dam nevela. Is dam nevela metame because of some gzeres hakasuv that even though it's not nevela, it's tame? Or do you say no? Dam nevela is like basar nevela. So it has that's a gzeres hakasuv that it has a din of the basar itself. Okay, so that was the comment that basil is metame, that basil is more machmir with the dam nevela. That even when Beisilel is mitami the dam nevela, that's only if you have a revius of dam nevela, because a revius that congeals will turn into a kazayis. That's the line we were looking for. That's what's aligned with Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan said by yayin that when you have a revius of yayin, it congeals, turns into a kazayis. So here you have by dam as well. So Rabbi Dimaloi, Abaye says, I see that they both say in different contexts that a revius turns into a kazayis, but they may not match each other. It could be that only wine, which is not as thick as blood, needs a revius in order to turn into a kazayis when it congeals. But when you have dam, which is much more thick, Kazayis lo by revius, maybe even less than a revius of dam would congeal into a kazayis. Inami akalo kamar revius reviuda hasam the kazayis sagile revius, or maybe it's dafka by dam that a revius matches a kazayis. El bedam de samach by dam which is thick avol the yayin the kolish, but wine which is much more liquidy kazayis haviyosim revius. Maybe you need more than a kazayis to congeal into a revius. V'chimapik pachos mi kazayis l'chayv, and therefore. Or if the equivalent, if what we're looking for to be chayiv for otzah on wine is that which is the equivalent of a revius, so when you're carrying congealed wine, maybe you should be chayiv on even less than a kazayis, because the equivalent of a revius might even be less than a kazayis. So you can't necessarily associate these two shitos with each other. They're talking about different liquids, and the congealing rate of different liquids is not necessarily going to be the same. Chalav kedei gemia. We then said that milk, the shear is the amount that a person would swallow, would gulp. So you buy luk. gemia or kedei gemia? Is it with an aleph or with an ayin, that word? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, based on the pasuk, hagmienina ma'at mayim mikadech. Eliezer says to Rivka, give me a little bit of water mikadech. So the lashon is hagmieni with an aleph. So therefore, kedei gemia should be spelled with an aleph and not with an ayin. Once we're on the topic, so Yibailu, they raise a number of questions about, we mentioned previously in the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to be, that when we're counting the shear of something, we're not mitzaref the gar'inim to the shear of a food in order to be chayev for the otzah. We mentioned that in the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Vavam Beis, that the gar'inim do not get counted toward the shear. So gar'inin, o gar'inin, is it with an aleph or with an ayin? So Amar Rav Barula, when the pasuk talks about being poda steachuza from hegdish, v'nigra me'erkecha, that we're megareya from the demei pidyon, we subtract from the demei pidyon the number of years of yovel that have already passed. But you see that gar'inin with an ayin, that's how we see that the word should be, it's a lashon girua, the garin also, it's a girua, the seed in the fruit is what's the inedible part. So that's why it's a lashon girua, that it's sort of subtracted from the fruit. So yibayluhu, they raise another shayla, that when it comes to the avodas yom ha-kippurim, the pasuk says that the kohen should take melo machta gachle ha'esh, and the brisa says in Maseches Pesachim, if it just would have said gachle, I would have thought that he should bring dead coals that have no that are no longer simmering. So that's why it says esh, to tell me that you have to bring gochalim lochashos, that you should still hear the sound of the fire crackling in these coals, that they should still be lit. So they raise the shaila, what does the word mean? What is the proper word over here that they're trying to use? Omimos? Oh, omimos. Is it omimos with an aleph or omimos with an ayin? Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, arozim lo amamuhu began elukim. That the lashon that we use in describing the malchus of Ashur in Sefer Yecheskel is that the cedars of the entire world are not, do not darken their appearance. None of them are as are more beautiful than it. Meaning, there's no melech in the entire world. We compare malachim to cedar trees, because cedars stand with gaiva tall and they're powerful. So we're saying that there's no melech that's as impressive as the melech Ashur. But the lashon that we use is amamuhu, so with an ayin. So you see that that's the proper spelling. Ibailu, another shaila in spelling. What's the girsa and what we're going to say later on in the Mishnah Kufnun Alfam Beis? Ein ma'amtsin esenei ameis b'shabbos. That you're not allowed to be ma'amets the eyes of a dead body on Shabbos. So ma'amtsin tanan or ma'amtsin? Is it with an aleph or with an ayin? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'otzem einav mira ospira. The pasuk says in Yeshayahu that v'otzem einav mira ospira, and v'otzem is with an ayin. So over here also, ma'amtsin should be with an ayin and not with an aleph. Now you may notice, Otsem and Ma'amets, you flip around the Mem and the Tzadi, they seem to be in reverse. So the Ritva points out, yeah, Ein B'Kachlum, that's no big deal that they flip around. A lot of times you have like that in Hebrew, that two letters could flip around and it doesn't change the word, it's the same word anyway. Keves and Kesev mean the same thing. So you have like that, it's not something that should bother us too much. Okay, so now the Shirotzah of other items. Tan Rabbanan, Hamotzi Cholav Shel Behema Kedei Gemia. Our Mishnah already said that how much milk, are you chayav for being motzi? The amount that you would gulp, that you would swallow. What about chalav shel isha? What about human milk? Of a loven shel beitza, or you take out the chelbon of an egg. So kedei liton b'meshifa shel kilor, it would be the ashir that you would put into a kilor, some type of ointment, in order to produce it. It's like a paste that they would use on the eyes in order to treat some sort of eye ailment. So that's the amount that you would use kedei lashuf b'mayim, in order to mix it with a proper amount of water for both of your eyes. By Ravashi. So Ravashi raised the question, kedei shifa o kedei achiza v'shifa. You know, when you put on a cream or an ointment, so not all of it goes on where you're applying it, because you stick your finger in the thing and then you apply it on your eye, but your finger still has some of it on it. So you need more than the amount that you need to put on your eye, because some is going to remain on your finger. So that's the Gemara Shaila. What's the shear over here? Is the shear for Otsa'a the amount that actually gets applied onto the eye, or the amount that together with, in combination with, what ends up on your finger, and then also what ends up on your eye? So that's the shear. Okay, Dvash Kedelitin Alakasis. We said the amount of honey would be the amount that would treat the back of a horse or the back of a camel that gets a wound on it. So Tana Kedelitin al Piyakasis, the amount that would go on the mouth of the wound. So by Ravashi, al kasis, when we say al Piyakasis, that means apuma dekula kasis, on the entire wound, odilma, or maybe no, amur shed kama dekasis. Maybe it only means the outer, the top edge of the wound, meaning when you have a wound, it's most intense in the center, and then around it, it also is infected. So the question is, are we looking at the center of the infection or the entire area that looks discolored or that looks infected? So lafuke udarna delo, as opposed to the area around the maka, which it would not be included, maybe. So teku, the Gemara says, we're not sure. We're not sure what the shear would be of dvash, whether it's the amount to put on the actual infection or not. Just yesterday, this is daf yomi coincidence for me. Horses and camels came up yesterday in one of our meetings about opening shuls, because we were questioning whether Rabbi Hauer should just write the letter for the OU himself, or we should all write it by committee. And he said, you know what they say, a camel is a horse that was built by a committee. Better to do just one person write, and then we correct it later. Anyway, okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Kol ma shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam lo bara davarecha levatala. Whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, he didn't create anything for waste. Nothing was done levatala. Everything has a use in this world. Bara shablul, he created a snail, lekasis, because it has therapeutic value for some sort of wound. Bara zvuv, he created a fly, litzira, that also affects, that also has therapeutic value if a person is stung by a wasp. Yatush, he created a gnat, lenachash, that also has therapeutic value for a snake bite. Nachash, and he created a nachash lechafafis, for a certain type of boil. Usamamis, and he created a samamis, some other type of creature, laakrav, that helps for a scorpion bite. So each of these things has a value. So the Gemara says the first one we mentioned is that snails have a therapeutic value. So how do you use a snail for its therapeutic value? So maisi chada ukma v'chada chivra. You take one black snail and one white snail, v'shalki luhu, and you slow cook them, v'shayfile, and then you spread it on where the maka is, and it will have this ability to heal the maka. Tan rabban chamisha emos hein, emos cholosh al gibar. There are five different unusual fears, where that which is weak causes great fear in that which is way, way stronger. So what are these? Number one, Emas Mafgia Alari, a tiny chaya called a mafgia, frightens a lion, because it makes this loud noise, and the lion gets very startled by the noise that this tiny creature is able to make. Emas Yatush Alapil, and a little gnat can frighten an elephant, because the gnat gets into the elephant's nose, and the elephant can't get away from it. He has no way of swatting it away, so the elephant is sort of stuck, and he gets very agitated by this teeny tiny little creature. Ema samamis ala akrav. This achbish is frightening to the scorpion, because it goes into its ear and the scorpion can't free himself from it. Ema sununis, a type of tiny bird, ala nesher, on an eagle, because it gets into the wing of the eagle and the eagle cannot spread its wings, and therefore it's not able to fly in the mighty way that an eagle would normally fly. Ema kilbis ala vyasan, a tiny sea creature frightens the Leviathan, or agitates the Leviathan, because it gets into its ear and he can't free himself from it. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Micro, what's the pasuk that is merames to this idea that which is very weak stirs great fear in that which is very strong? Hamavlik shod al oz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives koach to a person who's weak over a person who's very strong. That sometimes the weak people are able to overpower those who are strong. Rabbi Zeira Ashkel Rabbi Yehuda Dava Kaya Pischa de Bechamua. Rabbi Zeira saw that Rabbi Yehuda was standing by the doorway of his father-in-law's house. And he saw that he was in a good mood. So he saw he got him in the right kind of mood. So he figured he could ask him about all of the secrets of the world, and he would give him answers about how the world works. You know, sometimes maybe he would say, "Come on, let's not talk about this now. Let's just talk and learning," but he figured he caught him in a lighter mood. It's sometimes when you catch Gedolei Yisrael in the right context, you can get much better stories out of them. You can get it's Yadua for Talmidim of Rav Mordechai Willig. You catch him in Morish HaKolel, and you'll get everything you want out of him. He's just relaxed, and he'll just tell you shmooze and shmooze and give you all the great stories and everything. You have to catch people in the right context sometimes. So he says, I caught him, he found Rav Yehuda in the right context, in a good mood. So Amalei, he said to him, my time up. He's a maskin bereisha. Why is it that goats go ahead of the herd? Vahadur imri, and then the sheep follow. So Amalei said, Kibriyasu shalolim, the bereisha chashucha, vahadur nahora. Just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, first there was darkness, then there was light, so the dark animals go before the light animals. He said, okay, maitam ani mekasin vani megalion. Why is it that the backs of sheep are covered with a tail, and the backs of goats are not covered with a tail? They don't have a tail. So hani de mekasin and minayu mekasion. Those that produce the clothing that we get covered with, their backs are covered. But hani delama kasina minayu, those that do not produce anything that we cover ourselves with, goats do not produce our clothing. So megalion, so their hindquarters are exposed. My time a gamla zutar gunufte. Why is it that a camel has a tiny little tail? Mishum da'achal kisi, because it eats thorns, and if it had a long tail, the tail would get stuck in the thorns. It would be very upsetting, would be very difficult for the camel to function. So that's why Dafka HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the camel has a tiny tail. My time at Torah Aricha Gunufte. Why is it that an ox has a long tail? Mishum Dedayir Ba'agmi Yubayla Karkushe Baki. Because it lives in swampy areas, and swampy areas are very, are humid and have a lot of bugs. So it needs to swat away the bugs. So the ox has this long tail in order to be able to swat away all of the bugs. My time at Karna Dekamtsa Rakiva. Why is it that the horns of a bug are very soft? So he explains, Mishum de Dairi Bichilfi, because they live among Aravos, the Kasha Nadia Masavra, so they live among trees, and the Kasha Nadia Masavra, if it had a hard antenna, so the antenna would crack every time they'd bump into a tree, and then they'd be blind, because Tamar Shmuel, Haiman Dabai Delismi Lekamtsa, if you want to blind a bug, Lishlufe Lekarne, just take away its horns, because that's how it's able to see. So it needs it to be soft, so that it could be like that's what the Gemara says. The Psukim say by Makas Barad, right? That the harder grain got destroyed by the Makas Barad, but that which was softer didn't get destroyed because it bent down and it bounced right back up. So that which is soft has a little bit of give to it. That was probably a remez to Paro, that as long as you're going to be in action and you're going to say, I'm going to take on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to stiffen yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you encounter a greater force than yourself, you'll get crushed. But if you say that you'll be soft, you'll be kafuf, so then when you encounter a force that's greater than yourself, you're not going to be crushed by it, you'll be able to bounce back. Same as my time a high timra de tarnagolta midli leela. Why is it that when the tarnagol closes its eyes, the lower eyelid goes over the upper eyelid? De dairi adafi, because they live by beams and by boards. Ve'i eili kitra misavra. So if smoke would come into their eyes, they would get blinded. So the lower eyelid covers to make sure that nothing will get into the eyes. Dasha. Now we're going to get etymology of different words. A doorway, the threshold of the door. Why is it called a dasha? Derech shab, because that's the way you get into the house. Darga. Why are steps or a ladder called a darga? Derech gak, because that's how you get up to the roof. Why is it that a lift on that a dip that you dip your food into is called maskulisa? Because masay tichlada, it gets eaten so slowly that you ask, when is this ever going to finish? Because you don't finish it so quickly. He asks him, why besa? Why is a house called a besa? Bo ve'etiv ba, it means come in and sit in it. So that's the etymology of bayis. Why is a very tiny house called a bikta? Be akasa, it's a narrow house. Then he asked him, why is a large piece of wood that you sit on called a kufta? So he responded, kof vitiv, that turn it over and sit on it. Then he asked, why are bricks called livni? Livnei vani, because that which you build out of brick is going to be for your grandchildren, meaning it's going to last, it's going to far outlive the person who built it. It's such a sturdy building. Then he asked, why is a fence that's made out of kotzim or made out of lulavim, why is it called hutza? because chatzitza, all it is a flimsy fence. It's just like a chatzitza. It's not a real fence. Then he asked him, why is it that the bucket that we draw water from the river with is called a chatzba? Shechotziv mayim min anahar, because it's used to draw water from the river. Then he asked, why is a tiny klicheres called a kuza? Because kazeh, meaning it's nothing. It's tiny. It's like this. It's like a way of saying it's nothing significant. Why is a branch of a hadas that they would dance in front of a kala with called a shutisa? It's because shutusa, because when you dance in front of a kala, you look like a crazy person. So because you dance wildly, so that's why it's called a shutisa. Why is the bench that they bathe their hands and feet with called the meshichla? So mashikula, because it bathes everybody. It holds the water that a person uses to bathe. Why is a small bowl that is used for ruchitza called the mashkilta? Because mashikalta, it's used for very chashva people like a kala. Why is that which crushes the grain called asisa chasirta? Because it's missing a piece that's hollowed out from it. Buchna, the eli that they use to the hammer that they use to crush the grain is called a buchna bova akena, because it's a lashon of bova akena, come and let's strike it. Levusha, why is the outer clothing that a person wears, the outer robe that a person wears, called the levusha? Because lo busha, it saves a person from busha by being covered up. Why do we call the outer me'il a glima? Because shenasa bo kigolam, it has no real shape to it, it's just like a golem. Galusa, why do we call the a beautiful outer garment a galusa? Gali ve'etev, because when a person sits down, if they're wearing a chashva garment, so it's a long garment, so they have to like lift it up in order to sit down. Long is assumed to be the garment of a Talmud Chacham, right? When one wears a long garment, a garment of an ashir, of a rich person also, of people who are very chashuv. That's what the Gemara says. If a person can't afford Shabbos clothing, they should just wear longer clothing. They should lengthen their clothing. Purya, why is a bed called the Purya? Shaparin v'ravin aleh, because you do peruvu on it. Bar zinka, why is a dried out bar called a bar zinka? Bar zenaki, it's a way of saying this has been cleaned out from all of its water. Sudra, why is the head wrap that a Talmud Chacham that you're misatik with called the Sudra? Because Soda Shem Li Reyev, that's something that a Talmud Chacham wears. And Apadna, why is a palace of a king called an Apadna? Apischadin, because to this Pesach, meaning this is where everyone has to come for judgment, everyone has to come to be Mishares the Melech. Okay, sorry for going a little bit over time. Bez Hashem, well, we're not going to learn tomorrow, but Bez Hashem will pick up with Daf Ayin Tes on Sunday. Okay, we'll see where we'll... Okay, have a good Shabbos, everybody. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi. Thank you.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Sunday 6:15 as well?
No. Sunday 7:45.
Oh, okay.
7:45.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Good Shabbos. Okay. Kenny, was the audio okay today?
Very good, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. I didn't have my phone. This one was directly into my computer, though. Meaning I've been using my laptop until now, so maybe it's better when it's directly...
Oh, okay. Could be that.
Okay.
Are you connected on Wi-Fi or are you plugged into your router?
So I think on my desktop I'm actually plugged in.
So you're going to get better speed that way.
Yeah, I think that might be the difference. Okay, good. All right, good Shabbos.
Rabbi, what's Rabbi's shul's minhag on Yom Yerushalayim as far as halal?
We do chatzi halal after davening without a bracha. Rav Shachter tells us, yeah, same as Yom Atzmaut. No tachmi.
Have a beautiful Shabbos.
You too. Have a great Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Learn the Marcus Nidakat's White Torah site today, sponsored by Dale and Jay Foyer, MD, in memory of his mother, Rachel Val Alter Chaim Ben Yamin. To sponsor a day of learning, please click the link in the menu.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome. Tonight we're going to pose two shilas, and again, as always, you'll tell me which one you would like to discuss. You could put it in the chat feature if you want. Tell me which one you'd like to discuss. I believe both shilas came from the same person, and I think he's on the shear. I think I saw his name here somewhere, but I don't know if he wants to be identified. So I'll just read the shilas the way he sent them. Shila number one, with the precautions made in preparation for Minyanim to restart in a few weeks or months, Be'ezras Hashem, I'm sure that communities will be searching for large outdoor spaces in which